Have a few minutes? You won't believe what you can do with it. Open a Regions checking account online in as little as 5 minutes. Then enjoy award-winning service and banking tools and tech that help you live in the moment. Learn more at Regions.com/live in the moment. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
From the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio, located inside the Gas South Convention Center in Duluth, Georgia, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio is presented by Regions Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Greetings and salutations, everybody. It is your slightly annoying host, Stephen Julian, along with my trusty co-host, Harper LaBelle, and producer, Mike Salmon. Welcome to another, hopefully award-winning edition of Gwinnett Business Radio here on Business Radio X. We have two fantastic guests that we're going to get to, both from the Gwinnett Stripers. Aaron McCormick, the general manager, is here, and Shannon Callen, director of special events, is here. But we have a little bit of work to do before we get them on the air, Harper.
Do we want to do the work, like critique Mike's intro?
That was brand new intro. Fantastic, wasn't it?
Well, our guests are fantastic, so yeah. Mike's not quite as
slightly
good as
above
that.
Average.
Yeah,
that I was, thought it was.
Yeah. Did Mike, did you do
Harper,
that in one take?
I actually did it in one take with no script.
How about that?
That's what we call him.
Yeah.
One take.
That's
Mike.
Why he's so talented.
That's right.
He's amazing.
And I can hear everything you say, by the way.
And now so all we need to do to get him on the air is ridicule him, and then he'll jump in. The one thing we will not ridicule is that Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Regions Bank. We're here to help your business, and by we, I mean Regions. They're here to help your business's financial future stay on track. Regions Commercial Banking has a team of experienced bankers in Gwinnett who can guide you in all areas of growth. Get the resources you need so every step can move you closer to your business goals. To learn more, visit regions.com/commercial-banking. Don't forget that dash. It's important. The other thing that's important is Regions Bank.
Member.
FDIC. Maybe I can do that on the... You were talking to our guests about doing an FDIC night, but yeah. Let's get to them and really talk about what's important, which is Gwinnett Stripers baseball and all things Cool Ray Field. Aaron McCormick and Shannon Callen, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Gwinnett Stripers... For people who've been living under a rock for over a decade and don't really know, tell everybody about the Stripers and what's going on and what we're in the middle of.
Well, we're the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves, so we're the last stop before guys get to the major leagues in the minor league system. We play at Cool Ray Field in Lawrenceville, and I think some of the biggest questions usually we get is, like, as general manager, do I do player moves? Like, I do not. We host the players through our affiliation with the Braves, but we're really focused on the ballpark and the fan experience. So everything, ticket sales, sponsorships, special events, which is what Shannon handles, because the ballpark is an event venue for 365 days a year, and we play 75 home games, 75 on the road. We play April, or this year, March 31st, the earliest we've ever played, through the end of September. And that's kind of who we are.
And I did want to ask that to kind of start off. A lot of people, when they think of general manager, they're thinking of the major league level and how that's really all player. While there is some player interaction, as the general manager of a minor league team, it's kind of your job to oversee, host the players, but oversee the operation of all the games, correct?
Right. Yeah. So the equivalent, the general manager at a major league team is very much player focused and, you know, moves and contracts and signing guys and everything. I'm more equivalent to more of a president at the major league level where we are running the operation and the facility.
And Shannon, I wanted to bring you in quickly because you were telling us off air as special events coordinator, you kind of described your job as everything with the stadium that the stadium does except game day, right? Which is, and game day is what everybody thinks of first and foremost. So let me get out of your way and just kind of talk about what are some of the things that you've been able to organize and what are some of the events that people might not think of when they think of Cool Ray Field?
Luckily, we have the opportunity to do everything and anything. For example, so far this year, with us only being in April, we've hosted a car show. We've had a carnival in our parking lot with a Ferris wheel, all carnival rides and booths. We had Children's Healthcare of Atlanta's spring game with Georgia and Georgia Tech. We hosted a few college games, but we also have cooking festivals, barbecue festivals. We're hosting a beer fest soon, hopefully. We can do anything and everything.
So beyond the Stripers, there are baseball games. I know the youth organization of Gwinnett, GGBL, thank you. Sorry, I was thinking about it. They host their end of year tournament. I know high school teams mm-hmm. have had tournaments there, or regions have had tournaments and high school events, as well as that Georgia. If somebody hasn't gone to the Georgia Tech game, I mean, that is a fantastic environment. It's such a fun game. And it's in the middle of a weekend series where they play one in Athens, one at Tech, and then they play at Cooray. I've gone the last 2 years. It's been fantastic.
Absolutely.
So, but talk also, and it's not just the stadium. You guys have the surrounding facility, the parking lot. So sometimes it's kind of an event or a fair or you said you're almost limited only by your imagination. Is there anything that hasn't been done yet at Cool Ray that you would like to see happen? Let me ask that question.
Oh, gosh.
I stumped her already. 5 minutes in.
I feel like luckily we've had the opportunity to do a wide range of things. Yeah. Something that we want to do is a chili cook-off. We've hosted something similar to that. Mm-hmm. However, we haven't done that before. The only thing that we're sort of limited with is the field, depending on this time of year. So in November, that's kind of where the field begins to be off limits. But aside from that, we still have the parking lot. We still have the concourse. I would say that a thing that people don't think of when they come is, oh, we can host this and this and this. So it's having these big scale events and people come out to the ballpark that's maybe never been there before, mm-hmm. they see the opportunities that are there. And I think that's what helps grow it so much.
Yeah.
But something that we want to host.
Oh, I have one.
Oh.
Go ahead.
It's been a dream of mine. I've been in baseball 17 years and never been able to like pull this one off, but I want to do a fashion show where you walk the baselines and all of the nice. Chairs are set up around it. And like,
So the runway is the base
yeah,
pads.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
Yeah, it's been a dream. So.
Nice.
Make it a reality.
She's more original than I. Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, the Cliff Clavin thing on when Jeopardy for Cheers. People who've never been in my kitchen. We got to have some sort of a. But I'm sure people will come at you with some wild ideas every now and then. Yeah, no, we really can't do that. Are there any that you can talk about on the air?
Something that's new that I haven't really heard about is drone racing.
Yeah.
I had an inquiry recently for Major League drone racing. So that could be a cool opportunity. I know it's getting bigger, from what I've heard. So that would be something neat that you don't really think of. Some other inquiries, some crazy stuff with the field where I'm just like, our grounds crew would not be pleased if we were to do
we're going to dig holes and bury treasure. No, yeah. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that wouldn't be good. Aaron, I wanted to, bring it back to you and, since you're the general manager and obviously publicizing the team and the 75 home games, if anyone is listening to this who has lived in Gwinnett, who's never been to a game, they have absolutely missed out on one of the beautiful gems and one of the great opportunities to see good baseball up close and personal. So let me get out of your way and talk specifically about the 2023 season, because there are some now traditions of some events that happen around the games. What can people look forward to of some of the classic events and maybe some of the newer things that are happening this year as far as special events go?
Yeah, overall, I think the experience is what I'd like people to know about it is it's really easy and it's affordable, and you know, everything from parking, which is only $10, to the ease of getting in. You know, Truist is a great park, but sometimes it's a little bit of a production to get there. It's really easy for us. You know, you're probably never going to sit closer than you would at other ballparks because it's a nice, intimate ballpark, and you're really close to the future stars of the Atlanta Braves and you know, Ozzie Albies, Acuna, Freddie Freeman, all these guys came up through us. But specific to this year, we've really leaned into the food experience at the ballpark. So we have a stand called All the Fixins, which has kind of our southern food stand. Mm-hmm. So there's fried catfish baskets and Nashville hot chicken and barbecue sundaes and fried onion petals, just some unique food items that are a little bit more southern, a little bit more Gwinnett and Georgia. Aside from food, you know, we have new partners, Pontoon Brewing, which is a local brewery, has come in, and our chef has done some unique food with their product as well, a pontoon chicken wing that the sauces are done, the barbecue and the hot sauce are done with pontoon beers. Ricchetti's Pizza, just a lot of good options outside of your traditional hot dog. But also the fan experience itself, we want to make sure that people know that there's added value every night of the week. So the ticket price never changes, but on Tuesdays you can do $2 hot dogs, $1 desserts. On Wednesdays, it's Wet Nose Wednesday. You get to bring your dog for free. On Thursday, Thirsty Thursdays, $2 beers. Fridays, there's fireworks post game. Saturdays, there's a premium giveaway or an appearance. And this year, the two appearances are Dale Murphy in June and Coco Melon, which is a kid's character, in August. And then Sundays are Sunday fun days. So kids run the bases post game, pregame, catch on field. So there's kind of something for everyone.
I was going to ask one other I was going to bring up one other thing, and I'm glad you didn't raise it so that I get to sound really smart in raising this. The I think one of the unique things of Cool Ray is what's now called the Cutwater Club. And that has gone through a couple of changes. People might think, "Oh, I did that once or whatever." And before you took the role of GM, I think it's been one of those things where trying to get the most out of it has been a little bit of a challenge. That's my opinion. That's not the Striper's opinion. But I love what it is right now. So it's kind of gone through a couple of changes. And I think you want to talk about affordability for this VIP experience of what the Cutwater Club is. Talk a little bit about what the ticket cost is, because I think some people think, oh, that's for all the season ticket holders. No, 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 no. You can do this on a one-time experience, and it's a fantastic experience. So talk about that.
Yeah, it's mainly season ticket members, the memberships that we have down there, because it's such a great experience. But there is a limited availability for a single game experience on that. So if you're buying it as a package, it comes out to about, you know, $40 something dollars a game. If you walk up and there's availability and you want to buy into it, it's about $60-$65 for a game. But it comes with an all you can eat chef curated buffet, and that changes every night. What is tonight? I think it's like a Caribbean theme, so it's like jerk chicken and
that's in the restaurant under the stadium that's air conditioned in the summer.
It's air conditioned. It's got its own private bar. It's got a really cool entrance from the club area to the field where you walk by the batting cages so you can see the guys warming up, and it's the first four rows at the ballpark, so you're actually sitting closer to the batter than the pitcher. From the pitcher's mound.
It's fantastic.
I'm so hungry right now because all we've been talking about is the food and the good stuff.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more
about you. You said 17 years in baseball. How did you get involved, and what was the process to get you from when you started big-eyed, you know, young and thinking, wow, this is amazing, to where now you're the general manager of a minor league club?
I started when I was 19. So I'm from Corpus Christi, Texas, and when I was in college in San Antonio, my hometown was getting a minor league team. They were building the ballpark there in Corpus. And so I knew I wanted to work in sports. I grew up playing sports. I just didn't know what I wanted to do. So I asked them just to talk about their career paths in sports, and ended up getting an internship with the Hooks. And so my first boss in minor league baseball was their owner, Nolan Ryan. So it was kind of a starry-eyed way to get into baseball.
Yeah. Wait, what was his name again? Nolan.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. Okay, I'll have to look that up. Yeah.
And his son, Reed, who's still one of the best people in the world. And then from there, when I graduated college, you know, I interned with the Hooks throughout my college career, and they recommended me for a job with a team in Northwest Arkansas when I graduated, the AA of the Royals. And then I went to the AAA of the Cardinals in Memphis and spent about 5 seasons there, then to Sacramento with the AAA of the, at the time, the A's. And about 2 months after I started there, they changed to the Giants, which was some Bay Area drama. There's big feelings about those two teams there.
Yeah.
Then I missed the South. I'm, you know, from this area. So I wanted to get back. So I went to Birmingham with the AA of the White Sox. And actually one of the guys that I was with in Sacramento got the, Adam English, he got the job as the general manager in Gwinnett, and asked if I would come over and be the assistant general manager. And so we spent the 19 season together. 2020 was weird. We didn't play. And then Adam went on to, the Brewers AAA manager in Nashville, and I was promoted to general manager.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. quite the journey.
Now, as a female in an all-male dominated world, what were some of the icebreakers for you that, one, I'm not only good at what I do, but everyone else is noticing, and the path is... Was there someone before you that kind of opened the way, or were you, did you have to slosh through it yourself in terms of just moving up and being a part of the organization and rising to the status where you are right now?
It's such like a long, loaded question.
I asked
you. And you had 30 seconds to answer.
Yeah, exactly. It's it hasn't always been easy. I think there, especially when I was younger, there was a lot of times I get questions about like, oh, are you in baseball because you want to marry a ball player? And it was like,
really?
No, wow. I'm here because I want to work in sports just like everyone else. I don't know if you got that too, Shannon. But it's gotten better. I think we still have a ways to go, but it's gotten better. There was women that came before me as general managers. I haven't had a whole lot of opportunity to interact with them. I had some great guys, you know, be my champion along the way, but I think there's still a ways to go.
I think there's also part of your story that is great because of sports and especially baseball is you started, I'm sure that first summer it was, you know, you were probably working concessions or you were working in the store or you were, you know, you were sweeping out the dugout. I mean, you've probably done everything, right? And I think in minor league baseball, there's a long history of people who I've done everything in the stadium and that's how you make it to the top, doing good work and doing all the work.
Yeah.
And so 19 seasons, you keep plugging along, people notice, and sometimes you might have had to stick your head up and go, hey, you do need to notice that I'm, you know, so I'm sure that's a fantastic story. I'm going to kind of pivot to Shannon, who does not have 19 years of experience in minor league baseball, but still there's a good story there. So you are in the first part of the journey. So talk a little bit about how you got connected with the Stripers.
Yeah, so I graduated from Georgia Southern in May of 2021. Like Aaron said, growing up, I always knew I wanted to be in sports, didn't really know what I wanted to do until probably my senior year, and I was the one helping plan everything, and my friends were like, calm down, quit planning everything, quit being so organized, and I was like, I think I need to be in event planning. So I was very fortunate that I got a good job out of college down in Atlanta, and then I was moving to this area, and I was like, I knew I always wanted to work in baseball. I was actually on the game day staff with the Braves when they made their World Series run, so being kind of forced to watch baseball all the time, I was like, wow, I actually like this a lot more than I thought. So I saw a job opening with the Gwinnett Stripers, applied for it, came out to the stadium, and I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. Again, living in Metro Atlanta, I never knew the ballpark was there, which sadly a lot of people kind of see that whenever they come to the stadium and I do walkthroughs. But my first few months, I didn't expect to do a lot of the things that were outside of the realm of my job. But again, like you said, in minor league sports, you do everything.
Right.
But it's also neat to do everything because I've never driven a forklift until working with the Stripers. I've never had to sweep and squeegee water out of the bullpens and the dugouts when it rains. Like, I've never had to do that kind of stuff. But if I were to ever leave, I would have all these jobs and all these duties under my belt that I would never get the experience somewhere else.
Yeah, because I was going to ask, I thought it was interesting in meeting you before the show that you're kind of your main job is around everything but game day. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean you're at home during game day doing something else. You're kind of around and you're kind of help. You're doing what any good young future executive or future just successful person in any business, you're picking up everything you can. You're helping every way you can. You're picking up talents like driving forklifts and other things. Although if OSHA's listening, I'm sure it was fully supervised and under the proper conditions. And please don't sue the Stripers. So no, but it's. So what a fantastic opportunity. So I guess one of the other questions I wanted to ask you, Shannon, is you've kind of talked about these big events, but I think one of the most underutilized, and hopefully it doesn't stay that way, is we think of these big events, but there's opportunities. I'm a small business owner. I want to do a small client event. and not necessarily at a game, or I want to host something in the Cutwater Club mm-hmm. and do a dinner or do a lunch or do something like that. Talk a little bit about some of the ways that business owners who are listening who might think, well, I can't get a whole suite for a game, or I don't want to do a big giant carnival in the parking lot, but there's opportunities to utilize this fantastic facility. Talk a little bit about that on the smaller scale.
For sure. When you guys were talking about Cutwater, I wanted to say something, but that's actually one of my favorite areas to sell because you don't feel like you're at a ballpark. Granted, when people come in, they kind of want the ballpark feel, but whenever I take them down the elevator to the luxury Cutwater Club, they're like, whoa, I never knew this existed, because a lot of people don't get the opportunity to go down there during the game unless they are a season ticket member or they are lucky enough to buy the tickets. So they're like, this is awesome. And then you take them out to the tunnel where the field is, and then they see the batting cages where the players are. They're like, this is awesome. This is neat. So I'm actually hosting a nursing hiring event there on Monday night. So it's just going to be a dinner. There's a full bar, so that's going to be a neat opportunity. And then another area that's fun to sell is the SoFi Super Suite. That's our largest suite that we have. There's 100 people that can fit in there. We're hosting an award ceremony next Tuesday, actually. So we just got an upgrade of a smart TV. So more presentations. That's a goal to sell more in the off season when it's colder outside, to still get people out, even though they don't want to be outside, but utilize the suites in a different way.
One of the things that I like about the stadium itself, if you guys could both talk about your either love or appreciation, the size of it, it's not too big. It's Goldilocks. It's just right for what I would consider to be minor league baseball ready. It's clean. It's easy to get to. Is there anything that you would do differently from where the stadium is right now? I mean, do you add a deck to it? You've got the apartments in the back where people that live there can catch fly balls basically from their porch. They barbecue. They do all kinds of things. It's a long-winded question, but you know, what do you guys love most specifically about Cool Ray?
I've always loved the intimacy of minor league parks and how, you know, you're so close to these guys who are coming up. But I think Cool Ray Field, we've got big dreams for it to add on to it for the fan experience. So new party decks where that's where you sit and where you stay and watch the game. I have big dreams to put in a pool, a tiered pool in left field. So, you know, keep coming to the game so we can afford to do that project later. But
pool.
Does yeah. Steven need to bring first. His?
No. Don't even finish that statement.
We're not even going to bring Speedos for Steven. Yeah. Shannon, not gonna do it. It's not going to happen.
Shannon, quickly change answer the same question. Not what he just said, but the question, the long-winded question before that Harper just asked. Kind of what's favorite? And I was going to ask it is what's best play? You know, what are some of the favorite seats or favorite areas or favorite parts of the park?
I love the tap room, not just because of what it has and what it sells, but I think it's a cool experience because that's something similar to the Cutwater Club. When you're in there, you don't feel like you're at a ballpark, and mm-hmm. it has the garage door where you can open it. So another thing with events, you can sell it. People can come in, hang out. I think that's a really cool addition onto the stadium, and it looks awesome now with pontoon in there, the bright, vibrant colors. Something that I think would be cool, again, very long down the road possibly, is opening maybe a restaurant that people could come all the time. I know Cool Today Park in Florida does that, and they have people come in the off season, and even though they're not, the stadium isn't open, but people can still walk in and look at the ballpark, have a drink, have some food. I think that would be super neat.
Norfolk Tides in Harbor Park has that down the right field line. They were one of the first, I think, minor league. They did it back in the 90s. It's a great, and you're sitting at a table. It's just a great experience to sit there, watch a game, but also it's open during the year when the games aren't there. So I was going to say one of the – and you've mentioned it, Aaron, is that it's very affordable. I'll give quick advice. If you want to sit in the shade, you want to sit down the first baseline. If you want to sit in the sun, you want to sit down the left field line. That's where the stripers are, is down the third base side. First of all, getting seats right behind home plate is incredibly valuable and not that expensive. I think if you are on a budget, there's nothing better than sitting on the berm. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic out there. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about a two-tiered pool. I would love to see ways to bring back it's just a great place to go sit. I think that center field concession stand, which sometimes is open, sometimes isn't, there's opportunities there that could be taken advantage of. I think for the money, the best seat to me is right down the line, either left or right field, that last little section, and it kind of just narrows down to a pyramid of one, two, three seats in the first few rows. What a great sight line for a game. You're looking right in on the action, and you're right there on the field. The equivalent at Truist or any major league park would be probably $50 a ticket. And we're talking, I think the last time I checked, it was like, I think it's no more than 15 a ticket. I think it's like 12, 15, something like that. So it's fantastic. So I stumped the general manager. She didn't want to jump in on it. And depending on when you're listening to this, inflation does affect prices. But it's definitely no more than, you know, 15, 20 bucks. And again, anywhere in a seat, it's really not that different. It's not like, oh, the tickets go from 10 to 100. I mean, it's really affordable to take your family and get food, especially if you're doing $2 beer or $2 hot dog or whatever the night is. So I realized I didn't have a question. So let me ask this question. The big topic in the year 2023 as we're recording this is all the new rules. But those new rules are not new to minor leagues. Talk about what you've seen, the effect of the rules to the game in the last couple seasons.
Yeah, we've had a lot of those rules for 2-3 seasons now, and they've been really positive. We've had the pitch clocks for a couple years, bigger bases. We had the new baseballs, too, which add a lot more pop, a lot more home runs. And the pitch clocks specifically, we've had them for a couple years, but last April, the Major League Baseball really said, like, okay, this is where we're 100% enforcing this, you know, no grace, no period, you know, grace period in that. And our game times immediately dropped by 15, 30 minutes. And so it really does help the fan experience. It helps things keep moving. It's been very positive for us. Honestly, the only negatives have been that, you know, that's 30 minutes less of concession sales for us. So adapting the business side to it a little bit more. And we had a 6 o'clock game last year that was planned to have fireworks. And I went out on maternity leave last year. And one of the last things I did was petition Major League Baseball to move that back an hour. Cause I was like, oh God, we're going to be shooting fireworks in daylight. Like the games are moving too fast now. But this year, at the end of the month, we'll start with the automatic balls and strike systems, so robot umpires, as most people call them.
Talk a little bit about that. Talk a little more in depth of what that means.
Yeah, there's this huge piece of technology called Hawkeye that watches every pitch. And it's basically the technology that you see if you're watching a game on TV that has that box, the strike zone in the corner, and the ball flies into it. We play 6-game series, so for the first 3 games, Hawkeye will call balls and strikes, and you know the umpire is there to help with other situations.
And the umpire will actually be notified, and he will
he or
she will acknowledge.
Yes. Okay. And then the last 3 games of the season or of the series, the ump will call the game, but there'll be a challenge rule. So the only 3 people who can challenge a pitch are the pitcher, the catcher, or the batter. No one from the dugouts can do it. They have to challenge a pitch within 2 seconds of it occurring. So a batter will tap his helmet, and that will signal us up in the control room to show the Hawkeye data on the video board. Everyone sees it at the same time, the umpire, the players, everyone. And it does that like what you see on TV or on when you're watching a tennis game where the ball flies in and it hits the strike zone and it's definitive. It's either yes or no. And you get 3 challenges a game if you as a team. If you challenge it and you are confirmed, then you keep your challenge. If you're challenged and you lose it, you lose your challenge.
I believe our producer, Mike Salmon, has a question.
I want to jump in on a follow-up question. I'd like to know, what is the reaction from the umpires? I'm a big tennis fan as well as a baseball fan, but in tennis, a lot of the major tournaments now, there are no linesmen anymore. It's all automatic calls. Are the umpires concerned that there may not be any umpires in the future?
No, because there's so much more to call than just balls and strikes, right? There's umps out there for other situations, for check swings, for, you know, making sure that a home run actually did clear the fence or a ground rule double, or one of the other new rules this year is eliminating the shift. Mm-hmm. So they're the ones that make the call about that. So, and I think all umpires, like a lot of times they're validated in this process, right? So it's actually kind of positive, but the feedback, especially from the fan experience, has been really exciting because people get into it. You get to see it.
To your knowledge, is Major League Baseball, they're trying this 2 different systems to kind of see which one they like or which one they think is most effective? Because, and So you're nodding your head. So the answer to that question is a simple yes, it looks like. And so the other side of that is, and this might be a little bit beyond the scope, but I'm going to nerd out for a second. When they're showing that box, I've always wondered, how does the box adjust to height? Because Ozzie Albies is 5'8", and you know Matt Olson is 6'4", or whatever it is. So there's definitely differences in size. But then the other thing is a strike considered a strike that touches the box? So it can be the outer part of the ball, much like in tennis, if just one little hint of it touches. So is that what's considered a strike in the Hawkeye, to your knowledge?
It is, and there's... To my knowledge, but there's also it was really interesting when Major League Baseball kind of took all the GMs and showed us this technology in the difference between what you see on TV with the box strike zone, and if something hits on the very top corner, you know, you're like, that was a strike, you know, how can they not call that? And the difference between how the human eye sees it as an umpire, and it's really more of a rounded corner. So there's that opportunity for a difference or for grace. So this is kind of finding what the best balance is between that.
Yeah, I'll just state, and Mike, you can jump in, Harper, you can jump in. I hope they keep as much of the human element as possible, because I believe that's one of the things that's made baseball great. As much as we do, we add the replay. How many times have I watched where the replay, they're just going to stick with whatever they called on the field because it's quote unquote too close, right? And so it doesn't...
Not definitive.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so how do you get definitive with a strike zone? Because I like the idea that one ump is a little giving a little more on the corners and one ump isn't. And the reality is, I have a son who loves to send the little Twitter account that gives the report. And other than a couple major league umpires who won't be named here on the air, but everybody knows who I'm talking about, they're so 95, 97, 98%. They're so close. And even the ones they're off, you can kind of see a pattern of, well, they were just given a little more on the corners, and they're kind of known for that. I'm okay with that human element, and that's not a question. That's my first opinion, and I'm wondering if anyone else wants to jump in or call me an idiot.
I do have a question for you. Mm-hmm. The millennials, how do you get them to come to the ballpark and stay?
Because the game is shorter now. That's
how. Yeah, exactly.
But it's more exciting, right? That's what everyone wants to see, is less dead time, less downtime. And baseball really is truly the last social sport, and it's going to stay that way because you can watch a pitch, turn and talk to your friend. Mm-hmm. You can watch a pitch, take a bite of your hot dog. Mm-hmm. But this just keeps it from being too much.
And listen, if with all the injury timeouts that are happening more in football now, and with all the reviews happening across all sports, if you haven't watched baseball lately and you were one of these people who said it's so boring, you need to come back and watch it again, because people are swinging more. More balls in play. There's certainly less Nomar adjusting his batting gloves. That doesn't happen. The batter stays in the box. In the old days, the pitchers used to get to police that themselves by throwing it up and in. Since we can't do that anymore, now we got a clock. And I was not the biggest fan when they came out, but it is creating more action, more swings.
It is. It's very positive. And I think there's something oddly satisfying, or not oddly satisfying, for a lot of people about, like, a ball's a ball and a strike's a strike. Yeah. Now, you know, it's definitive. It is that is true to the game.
I'll be interested to watch it.
When a guy comes from another team, or if he's moved up or moved down, how do you or your staff get involved with making them not only comfortable, but, you know, to where they, is there anything else that we can do for you? We want to make this a great experience for you while you're here. How does the Gwinnett experience change for Norfolk or Scranton or Worcester, all the different clubs? What do you do?
Worcester.
Yeah, Worcester. Obviously, our first concern is the Braves, right? The Braves player experience. And we have great clubhouse attendants who take care of the guys. They make sure that everything is fully stocked with their favorite snacks. There's nutritionists on staff. They've got great weight rooms and relaxing furniture. So we, as the host, really just try to make them as comfortable as possible. And, you know, are there times where a guy wants to go golfing and we help get him a foursome or something like that? We're here to help with that. And then when the visitors come in, we have another great attendant there who makes them comfortable, make sure they have everything, that their buses are on time, the hotels are ready. So
wait, their snacks aren't stale and the soda's not flat for them?
You got
to do the home field advantage stuff, don't you?
No, everyone is treated well and equally. But again, we're just really the hosts. So as players move up and down, they're coordinating travel with the major league affiliate and making sure that the guys get to where they need to be there. But we're just here to make them comfortable.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to cut this off. I could go for another, you know, hour and a half. I think Mike has 17 questions he wanted to jump in on, and we're holding him back from grabbing a microphone. But normally when we just have two guests from one company, we kind of say, hey, you know, just give us the contact information. But I think there's two unique opportunities. So Aaron, as the general manager of the Stripers, you talk to the general public about coming to the games, tell everybody what they need to know, where they need to go to get tickets, to find out more about games. And Shannon, I'm going to ask you a different specific follow-up question. So Aaron, you first.
The easiest answer is gostripers.com. That has all the information you need, all the A to Z guides and parking and all of that. But if you don't follow us on social, all of our handles on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram are at GoStripers. And we have, I'm very proud of our social media because we have a very funny, unique voice if you don't follow us.
They're awesome.
They are very good. And Shannon, as handling special events and kind of the out-of-the-box thinking of the way people can use this fantastic park and the team around it, give everybody contact information if they want to do something at the Cutwater Club, if they want to do a suite when the team isn't there, or put on a big giant carnival in the parking lot. How do they get in touch with you?
So you go to our website, ghoststripers.com, and there's a tab that says events, and you can submit an inquiry that way. And it goes directly to my email, or if you go to our employee page, you can find me and you can just shoot me an email directly. Be happy to set anyone up. Again, opportunities are endless at the stadium, so we'd be excited to book an event for anyone.
And they can get your email on that site, or do you want to give it publicly?
Whatever works. I can give it publicly.
Go for it. Come on.
It's Shannon, Shannon.Callan, Callan, at ghoststripers.com.
Good sales tactic. Harper, I believe you have one. And Aaron and Shannon, thank you guys so much for being here. Go Stripers. And if you're not going to a game, you're missing out. It's a fantastic.
Yeah, no company. Kidding. Thank you, ladies, for being here. Hey, we want to talk about one of our sponsors here.
Absolutely, that we love.
We love talking about the Subaru. And what makes a Subaru? Well, the love that they provide. Enjoy the big savings, the hassle-free experience at SubaruofGwinnett.com, where people sell cars. You can visit at SubaruofGwinnett.com. You can go online. You could go to their phone. You could go visit them in person. There are lots of different ways. You can join their family today. You can come on in and see the difference. If you're already a Subaruist, then you can check out their Facebook page for the latest news, offerings, and community events.
By the way, I believe you came prepared with some kind of quiz. Do we have time to do that, or is Mike going to cut us off? Oh, he's giving
okay.
The all clear.
What's your favorite of all the nights, ladies, of the upcoming different events? There's a halfway to Halloween, right? That's an event that you have coming up. The
Would
Zolos
that be on
of
April
Gwinnett. You've got the Wet Nose Wednesday, which you already mentioned. I'm kind of leaning towards the chicken wing buffet.
Ooh.
You have a whole night, right, devoted
That's
to chicken
tonight.
Wings?
Tonight.
Dang it, what am I doing tonight?
Thirsty Thursday? Is that one of
if she said
Mike,
beer,
you know, Mike
beers.
Would like to go and need someone to drive him home. Coming up shortly, Jackie Robinson Day, is that correct?
Yeah, that's
Education
a Saturday.
Day. I'm not going there because I'm not going to fail the test.
Do you have bobbleheads? Who are the bobbleheads this year? That's the big one where
we
you
do.
Get the big
we
one
have
out the door.
Three bobbleheads. Olsen with the Braves, a Sugar Skull, so like the Mexican like
yeah, yeah.
Halloween kind of look. And then the a fish leaping out of the water.
Oh,
that's
nice.
A fan favorite.
For the Stripers.
For the Stripers. Okay, before we went on the air, explain the May the 4th be with you date and how it's not on May the 4th.
It's not. It's on May the 6th, which is the Saturday closest to May the 4th because – you know, we play at 7 o'clock on a Thursday. That no kids can come out and still make their bedtime.
I
at
disagree,
that time.
But that's okay. I'm allowed to disagree with the.
It's for the kids, guys.
Now,
it's
you have lightsabers. What is that? The same
we
night
we do. We have glow sabers, trademarked lightsabers.
Nice.
Glow sabers for the kids. First 500 kids get a glow saber.
That 500 kids get mm-hmm. glow sabers. And what if Steven steals one from one of the kids because he wants one?
I don't
and we
do
will
that.
Publicly
do you
judge
the,
him and
as,
shame
as
him.
Do you have the
who...
Chewbacca bathroom mat giveaway? Right. You going to do that too? Yeah. Okay, Chewbacca. Iowa. They're in first place right now in the affiliation is Iowa?
Do you mean Des Moines?
No, it's Iowa. It's listed as Iowa.
They are in Des Moines, though.
Yeah, I know. They're in Des Moines.
I read the back of my baseball cards growing up. Who are they affiliated with?
Yes, who's their affiliation?
Used to be the Cubs.
Yeah.
They're still the Cubs.
They're still the Cubs.
Yeah, okay. And they're in first place right now. Is that bad? Can I talk about the first place club right now?
It's fine. There's a lot of baseball left to be played.
Yeah, Louisville. Who about
I said the Louisville Bats. I believe they're with Cincinnati.
They are with Cincinnati still. Omaha.
So Omaha used to be the Royals. Are they still the Royals?
Yeah.
Although they'll have to change their name. Are they the Storm or something? And they're the Royals affiliate.
Storm Chasers.
Storm Chasers, yeah.
That's Peyton Manning is Omaha. You remember Omaha.
Yeah, I do remember.
Okay. Easy one, St. Paul.
St. Paul. Well, Saint that would Paul. Probably be the Twins.
Yeah, and they're in Minneapolis, aren't they? Or are they in the Twin Cities? They're Which of the Twin Cities are they in?
Yeah. Exactly.
Because there's two of them. You got to pick one.
We went
final answer, Regis. All right. Toledo. Goodness.
Toledo Mudhens were always with the Indians. Are they still with the Indians?
No.
No, they changed. Okay, so did they change to Detroit? Yeah, that's what I was going to guess. Yeah.
Yeah, good for you. Okay, Scranton.
Oh, Scranton-Wilkesburg, the hated Phillies.
Although
did they change?
It's been a while.
Okay, I'm sorry. So who are they with? The Yankees?
Yankees.
Yeah. That's why I hate them.
By the way, how long has Cool Ray been in place?
This is our 14th season.
14th. It still looks like it's brand new. It's
fantastic.
Yeah.
Immaculate.
By the way, and Cool Ray is fantastic. Scranton-Wilkesbury, that's a nice park. That is a very nice park.
But Cool Ray is better.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Of course.
Lehigh Valley.
The Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, one of the greatest, apart from the Stripers, one of the greatest.
Well, the Mudhens. I did Toledo just a second ago. Yeah. Okay, so who are they affiliated with right now?
Would that be the Phillies? Yeah, that would
good
be the Phillies.
Good for you. Yeah. I'm just trying to, Mike knows this. Worcester?
It's Worcester, and it used to be the Paw Sox from Pawtucket, so obviously they're the Woe Sox or the Woo Sox. Yeah, Worcester Sox. You're not going to pock that cup.
Houston or Houston? Which one is it?
It's Houston.
It's Houston. Okay.
Are the Paw Sox not around anymore?
No.
They moved to Worcester.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Worcester, yeah.
My very first my first time I saw Freddie was at Indianapolis. They were visiting.
Yeah. Okay.
What affiliation is Indianapolis?
Indianapolis Indians.
Trick question.
Yeah, because they're not with the Indians.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but they are.
But they were the Racers at one point, weren't they?
Were they
different?
They've been.
Are they St. Louis? No. Who is it?
Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
There you go. Good call. Yeah.
Rochester.
The Rochester.
Or did I say that? Worcester.
No. Rochester used to be the Red Wings. I don't know what they are now. Are they?
Harper thinks he's doing his other job at 92.9 The Game. Yeah. The sports talk station.
Are they the Mets?
No. No, same division.
So that would be the Nationals.
Yes, good for you.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Well done.
Mike's already getting
And the Tides used to be the Mets for a long time, and now they are
Syracuse is the Mets now.
Bird.
Oh, the Orioles, yeah. Dang it. I should know that. I'm so upset at myself. Got to meet Jerry Lawler at a Tides game one time. Anyway, sorry.
We'll have to bring Aaron and Shannon back at some other time.
First part. I started
we
to
could be
tail
here for
off
hours.
At the end. Aaron McCormick, general manager of the Stripers, Shannon Callen, who handles special events and drives forklifts. I almost said porklifts. Sorry. Drives forklifts around.
Thank you guys so much for
being here. And for our producer, Mike, and for Harper, who gave me a good quiz, and I thought I did okay. I passed, at least, and I was strong in the beginning.
We'll take you to education night and let you know whether or not you passed.
Yeah. All right. To my wife, Stacy, I love you. Have fun at the store at the Stripers game tonight. We'll talk to everybody later here on Gwinnett Business Radio.